I appreciate this opportunity this morning of standing before you and sharing some thoughts and some words from the Bible. Today we're going to do quite a bit of paraphrasing, but I know that we're all familiar with the gospel accounts, and you'll know if I'm paraphrasing it right or not, and if not, be sure and let me know. You know, this time of the year, as we mentioned briefly earlier, a lot of people are turning their thoughts and their minds to one of the greatest events that's happened in the history of mankind, and that is the little baby that was born into this world, the Son of God. And I know that we don't know that this was the time of the year that it happened. More likely it was in the springtime. You can deduce this from the most likely time that Zacharias would have been in the temple offering the sacrifice, although you can't know it for certainty. And then it was announced at that time that Elizabeth would have the son John the Baptist. And then when she was 6 months along with her pregnancy, then the angel appeared to Mary. And so you would have a year and 3 months. So you figure that in, that would have put it more likely in the springtime. Also, the fact that the shepherds were out in the fields with their sheep would more likely have put it in the springtime. But we don't know when it was, and if God had intended for us to know, I'm sure He would have told us. But it doesn't make that much difference. The Bible does not tell us to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but since it is such a monumental fact, such a monumental happening, and since a lot of people's thoughts and minds are turning there, I think it's good that our society stops and pauses to think about it. You know, a lot of people are trying to get Jesus out of it now, and get back to a holiday instead of Christmas, and get back to maybe just a commercial celebration and a family celebration, and leave Christ out of it. Well, the Bible says whatever we do in word or deed, we are to do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And even some well-intended preachers are telling us that it's all right to celebrate it in the ways of the world, but we shouldn't put a religious connotation on it. Well, if I'm not going to think about my Savior that was born into this world when we think about it, then I'll just forget all about it. But I think that it's good that in the fall and the winter we think about His birth, in the spring we think about His death and resurrection. And in the fall, we think about giving thanks to God for the bountiful harvest. And since our minds are there, I want to share with you some thoughts. And in view of the monumental happenings surrounding this event, we've entitled our lesson, Fact or Fiction and Faith. Sometimes we, you know, are a bit slow to believe what we hear because, well, there are some pretty far out things out there. And what we want to look at today is some points from what we like to call the Christmas story, the events surrounding the nativity of Jesus. And we've entitled our lesson, Fact or Fiction and Faith, because when we hear something, we have to make up our minds whether we're going to label it fact or fiction. And there are some things that it takes a lot of faith to accept as fact. A lot of people put the nativity story that we read of in Luke chapters 1 and 2 right alongside the other traditional fairy tales of Christmas. But suppose that you're living in the Middle East some 2,000 years ago, and you hear some very unlikely events being talked about. Number one, you find astrologers seeing a star that's supposed to mark the birthplace of a new and exciting king. Now they had been looking, Israel had been looking for a king for hundreds of years, and people had been forecasting his coming, and the prophecies had dwindled down, and the Old Testament had been closed out, and times are uneventful. And it seems that it's overdue time for something to happen. And here come these astrologers, wise men if you please, magi, claiming that a star has told them that a new king is born. That sounds kind of far out, doesn't it? How are we going to label it? Fact or fiction? Do we have the faith to believe it? How would astrologers know anything about a star foretelling the coming of the new king of Israel? Well, I don't know much about astrology, and I don't know much about how they knew. But I do know that in the long ago, Balaam, yes, the old rent-a-prophet man, had prophesied in Numbers 24:17, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. I don't know, maybe there was further revelation that's not recorded about how the star would point to his coming. But one way or another, the astrologers, the stargazers, the wise men had figured it out. And Matthew 2:2 says, they came saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. You know, a lot of times we try to discredit astrology and things of this nature. And it can be put to an evil use. But this time, according to the Bible, they were right. Was it fact or fiction? And do we have the faith to believe it? They come to Bethlehem, to the home of a young peasant couple with a little child, and they begin to fall down and to do obeisance to the little baby and to unwrap gifts. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gifts that are fit for none less than a king. Is there really anything special about this baby? Or is it just another ordinary child? Is the fact that, or the claim that this baby is special, is it fact or fallacy? Do we have the faith to believe it? Number two, people come around telling that they've seen angels and the angels have spoken to them. Now I know that we're supposed to believe in angels. If I asked for a showing of hands, we'd probably get about every hand in the room raised to signify that we believe in angels. But if I come along and say that I've seen an angel and an angel told me something, how many people are going to believe it? Probably only one or two of you. And y'all are going to have doubts. You know, we hear a lot of things, and some things sound far out. And this may sound a little far out. We see Zacharias performing the duties of a priest in the temple, burning incense within while the people waited without and prayed. And this time he didn't keep the schedule. He didn't come out when he was supposed to come out. He was in there an unusually long time. And when he came out, he was speechless. He couldn't talk. He had to write down anything he wanted people to know. And the people knew that something out of the ordinary was going on. And according to the report, he and his wife Elizabeth, who were well up in years now, who were past childbearing age in normal circumstances, and were childless because Elizabeth, all her life, had been barren, was unable to conceive. And now here the story goes that Zechariah, has seen an angel who informs them that he and Elizabeth not only are going to have a son, but they're going to have a son and they're going to name him John, and that he's going to be dedicated to the Lord, and even from birth, he's going to be a very special person, and he's going to be a forerunner of the coming Messiah. We read about that in Luke chapter 1. So suppose you were there worshiping and praying without, and Zechariah, he's gone in too long to burn incense. He comes out mute, and you hear all these things about the angel appearing to him. Are you going to label it fact or fiction? Are you going to have the faith to believe it? And then there is Cousin Mary. Sure enough, the elderly and formerly barren Elizabeth becomes pregnant. And after 6 months of being with child, Cousin Mary comes running in all excited, proclaiming that she too has had an encounter with an angel. Well, one time's out of the ordinary, twice in the same community is going to be a stretch of the imagination, isn't it? But the angel supposedly has informed her that she too, though that she's unmarried and though that she has never had a relation with a man, she's a virgin, she's going to have a child, and that child is going to be the Messiah, and he's going to be called the Son of God. I suppose necessity requires that I read the passage of Scripture now from Luke 1, beginning with verse 30. According to the story of Mary, the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, who hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. You know, these are just impossible things. Remember, Jesus said, "With God all things are possible." But these are impossible things. They are things that just don't happen. So how do you label them? Do you label them fact or fantasy? Do you have the faith to believe? Then there's Mary's boyfriend, if you please, who has kept his fiancée a virgin, who hears the story that from his wife-to-be that she is pregnant. Now that's going to be kind of a big order for him to believe the story, isn't it? How many times have young women made up excuses, and he very likely would think, well, you know, this is the most imaginative excuse for misbehavior I've ever heard. To claim that the baby is the Son of God. Matthew 1 tells us, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately or privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Wow! Another appearance of an angel in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I'm glad that Joseph received this message from the angel so that he would not have to doubt the truthfulness of what his fiancée Mary is telling him. But suppose that you had been living next door to this couple and word had come to you of all this. Would you have labeled it fact or fiction? Would you have had the faith to believe? And then there's the issue of the virgin birth of Jesus. The idea that a virgin, a girl who has never had conjugal relations with a man, could have a child. That's almost unbelievable. Well, in human perspective, it is unbelievable. It is something that just doesn't happen, that can't happen. In other words, it's impossible. Only thing is that the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before, had prophesied, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which translates God with us. But you're living in the same community with Mary and Joseph. You hear of all this. Maybe it's talked of at the local barber shop or beauty shop or whatever. You're told about it. Are you going to label it fact or fiction? Are you going to have the faith to believe? Holman's Bible Dictionary states that belief in the virgin birth is central doctrine of Christian thought. Its basis lies in the two passages of Matthew 1 and Luke 1. The writers state that Mary was a virgin when Jesus was conceived and when he was born. However, the real emphasis is upon the miraculous conception of Jesus. There was no human father. He was the child of God. The new creative act of God is seen in his bringing his son into the world. Fact or fiction? It's impossible. Like the angel told Mary, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Do you have the faith to believe? As the old song states, who would believe such a thing? But here's hoping to God that you do. A song written by Don Reed and Harold Reed and made famous by the Statler brothers along with several other groups says there are people who are whispering and the rumors are running wild. There's a woman who's not married and she's going to have a child. Her name is Mary. She's a virgin from down in Nazareth. Now listen close. She's going to marry a man named Joseph. But the baby's father is the Holy Ghost. And who do you think could believe such a thing? Could believe that the story is true? And who do you think could believe such a thing? Well, here's hoping to heaven that you do. Now they're saying she had a baby in a barn in Bethlehem and the stars moved round the heavens till it stopped right over them. Then some shepherds said an angel came and told them about the birth. They always knew men went to heaven. But now God has come down to earth. And who do you think could believe such a thing? Could believe that the story is true? And who do you think could believe such a thing? Well, here's hoping to heaven that you do. And then fourthly, there's the story of the shepherds. The law dictated that Joseph take Mary and go back to his hometown, Bethlehem, to be registered or taxed. And while there, Mary's turn ended, and since there was no room in the inn, they put up in a stable. And the Bible says, Luke 2 and verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. A manger is a feeding trough for cattle. But here come a group of shepherds. Nobody has sent for them. Nobody has told them anything extraordinary is going on, so far as men know. But here they come in from the fields, telling this tall story about how they have seen angels who gave them a glorious message concerning the baby Jesus and sent them there to find him. They would find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying, of all places, in a feed trough for cattle. Luke 2:8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, a feed trough. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger in a feed trough. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. They began to tell the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. That's a fiction. Sounded far out, didn't it? Would you have had the faith to believe it? The Bible says Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. What a great monumental event. It was great and monumental because nothing like that had ever happened before and nothing like that will ever happen again. The world was lost. It was on its way to destruction without hope, without chance of redemption. But God, in His infinite wisdom, picked the humble and lowly way of bringing the Savior into the world to have the little baby born of a peasant couple. Not to come down as an adult in a starship or a UFO. Not to descend the golden ladder from the throne on high wearing a crown and a fine robe, but to be born of a virgin in a stable and put to bed in a feed trough. And here these angels come, or these shepherds come telling the story of how the angels have told them about it. Fact or fiction? Do we have the faith to believe? You know, this day and time, we hear many far-fetched stories and legends. We hear about the guy that lives at the North Pole with all his elves, reindeer that can fly, who keeps tracks of all the kids and knows if they've been naughty or nice, and who comes down the chimney with his bag of toys Christmas Eve night. How many people, maybe even subconsciously, put the story of the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, and the virgin birth right in the same pigeonhole with all these other traditions in their minds? Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He's real to those who believe in him, and so are the angels and Jesus and the shepherds. But if this is the only kind of faith we have in Jesus, we have no faith at all. These are phenomenal happenings. They are real happenings. They're not just real if you believe them. They are real whether you believe them or not. So again I ask, do we label it fact or fiction? Do we have the faith to believe? I heard someone talking the other day about how that Christians were rude and overbearing and inconsiderate and politically incorrect by trying to tell the whole world that they needed to be Christians too. The Christians, I said, failed to realize that atheism and Buddhism and Mohammedism and all the other isms were just as viable alternatives as Christianity. But that's not so, is it? The apostle said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But we have to believe these things. Jesus said in John 8:32, I believe it is, if you believe not that I am He, that is the one I claim to be, the one I'm supposed to be, ye shall die in your sins. Do you have the faith to believe that today? Then dedicate your life to Christ. Be a Christian. Let Him take your sins to Calvary and leave them there. Repent of your sin, confess that faith, be buried with Him in baptism to make that commitment. If as a child of God you've wandered away and you need to come back, won't you come and let us pray with you and for you? And if you're subject, won't you come while we stand, while we sing?
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil of dick or win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder working power in the grave.